you glad he saw that we was worth it? Amen. I've been thinking about that kind of this past week a little bit for the leadership conference this weekend. I told you this morning the theme is ministry, and I'm going to be speaking on don't lose the awe of it all. And if we're not careful, when I say all, I mean A-W-E, right? Not the all of it all, but the all of it all. If we're not careful, we'll forget what salvation really is, what really happened, and how it affected our lives. I don't ever want to forget what God's done for me. I'm so glad that he saw that I was worth it. I'm glad he saw you were worth it, but I sure am glad he included me in all, right? Amen. All right, we're going to get back into James chapter number 3, and I must be honest with you, the topic tonight, and then we talked about it last week and going to kind of, Lord willing, finish it up tonight. The topic tonight's not one of my favorite topics to talk about, because it's a topic that really gets me right, speaks right to me, right? And I think if you're honest tonight, it probably will speak right to you. James is speaking about the tongue. And I thought about this. I told my Sunday school class this morning. I was teaching on a different story about David, and it was a familiar one. And I would say that James chapter 3 would fall in that category. Very familiar section of Scripture. Many of us know it. Many of us can quote parts of it. Many of us have heard messages preached on it. And I think one of the dangers of familiar passages of Scripture, I told my Sunday school class, is that we get so familiar with it, we think, well, I've heard that before, right? Think of John 3:16. You hear somebody get up and read John 3:16, they're going to preach from John 3:16, and you think, well, I've heard so many messages on John 3:16, or I've heard so many messages on, as we're going to look at tonight, the tongue. And if we're not careful, when it's a familiar passage of Scripture, we can kind of almost cut it off, right? I think even as a preacher, I have to guard against wanting to find something new and trying to skip over the familiar topics of the Bible. But I told my class this morning, you know they're familiar for a reason. There's a reason John 3:16 is the most loved and most known verse of Scripture, right? It's a great verse of Scripture. There's so much truth in it. There's a reason that we know about David and Goliath, because there's tons of life lessons and truths in that story. And there's a reason that many of us have heard messages and know these verses of Scripture out of John chapter 3 about the tongue, because they're so applicable to our lives. And so I would ask you tonight, try not to cut me off and try to get what God has for us. I'm probably not going to tell you anything tonight that you haven't heard before about the tongue, but I'm going to remind you of some things that you probably already know that I believe can be a help to us in our Christian life. That's my desire tonight, is to help somebody. I hope and I pray that some way I could be a help to somebody tonight. And so as we look at James chapter number 3, right? James chapter number 3, and we talk about the tongue. I just want to remind you, last week I told you we had an introduction to the tongue in verse number 1, and how that James talked about be not many masters. He introduced it with a teacher, right? And then he went from the introduction of the tongue, talking about teachers. Then he went to the indictment of the tongue and how that it reaches everyone. In verse number 2, he said, for in many things we offend all, right? He says, we're all guilty of this. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle also the whole body. And we none of us, I don't believe, would claim to be perfect. So therefore, the tongue indicts all of us, right? It gets every one of us. And so we saw the indictment of the tongue. And then we saw the illustrations of the tongue. And I just looked at two of those illustrations last week in verse number 3, 4, and into verse number 5. And we talked about its size, right? The bit and the helm, though they're very small, we talked about their strength, right? The illustrations, we talked about the size of the tongue. Though it be a small member, it boasteth great things. Right? It's small in size, but it's significant in strength. Did you get that? Our tongue, though it is very small in size, in comparison to the rest of our body, our tongue is a very small member. But because it just because it's small in size has nothing to do with the significance of its strength. The tongue is very strong. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to look at, now that we've looked at the illustration of the tongue, I want to look at the impacts of the tongue. James has already mentioned the size of it and the strength of it. And so I want to talk about the impacts of it. How does that strength of the tongue impact our lives? How does it impact my life? How does it impact your life? I'm going to give you a couple ways that I believe the tongue can impact our lives, the strength of the tongue. It's got the strength to direct. We kind of touched on that last week. Look at verse number 3. We talk about the bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And look at it. It says, we turn about their whole body. So that horse, that great big strong animal, the horse, can be turned about by a small little bit, right? And then we see the ship, how that it can be, it says the ship, though they are very great, so they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So it says that horse is turned. It says that ship is turned. And so I want you to understand tonight, our tongues have the strength. The impact of the tongue is it has the strength to direct. Would you not agree that the tongue has the strength to direct? It has the strength, I believe, to direct our lives, right? I don't know about you, but my mouth has got me into some situations, right? My tongue has had an impact in the direction of my life, good and bad. I don't think James is going to say some bad things about the tongue here in a moment. But I don't know that necessarily this is all bad right here. He's saying, it could be that he's saying it's actually good. He's saying that tongue is like that bit and it can direct that horse. I don't know about you, but if I was on the back of a horse, I'd want to be in control. And so it says you have the ability to control that big animal by one small bit. It says you have the ability to control that big ship By one small helm, by one little rudder that the governor is in control of. And it could be that James is saying our tongues are that way. When we use our tongues in the right way, it has the strength to direct our lives, not necessarily in a negative light, but in a positive light, right? Not only does it have the strength to direct our lives, but it has the strength to direct others' lives. This could be James alluding back to verse number 1 where he said, "Be not many masters." Because when you stand up and you teach the word of God, you've got the ability to direct those that are listening to you. Many teachers, many preachers, many great leaders, politicians, presidents, kings, and different captains of armies have directed people with their tongue for good and for bad. Right? So the tongue has the strength to direct. It has the strength. I thought about my children, how my tongue has the strength to direct the lives of my children. And how yours has the strength to direct the lives of your children. The things that we say have an effect on the people that we come in contact. They have an effect on us and others. And so I think James says the tongue, though it's small, it's significant in strength, and it has the strength to direct. But not only that, look at verse number 5. He says the tongue, though it has the strength to direct, and that could be positive, he says the tongue also has strength to destroy. Look at verse number 5. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And then he says this, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That's talking about, if you read in the Greek, that's actually talking about how great a fire, how great a flame, how great a forest could be destroyed by just a little bitty flame, right? And he goes on to say that, verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. He says that the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. Right? In the end of verse 6, he says, it is set on fire of hell. And so I thought about fire and how the tongue, it has the strength to direct. But not only that, the tongue has the strength to destroy. I thought about those fires that pastors already mentioned tonight in California. I don't know how closely you follow those fires, but I've done a little research today. I don't know how accurate my research is, okay? So maybe you've got more accurate research. But I've done a little research today, And from what I saw, the fires are out now, correct? Yeah? The fires have been contained and they're out. But they destroyed over 23,000 acres of land. That is unbelievable to me. 23,000 acres of land. Said that it's already been estimated up to $20 billion in damage and could exceed up to $50 billion in damage. And so I think that when James says in verse number 5, when he says, "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth," he said, "That tongue, and though it's small, it boasteth great things." He's saying that tongue is like a fire. And it doesn't take much for it to spread and to destroy. A fire that's under control, James used this analogy of a fire. You know, a fire under control is of great use. You can cook on it. You can warm by it. There's many great uses of a fire that is controlled. But can I tell you, as this community, I believe, I'm not even 100% sure, but I don't want to speak out of line, but as our own community just experienced this past week, a little fire can get out of control. There was a situation, I don't know if you left church, was it last Sunday night or Wednesday night? Last Sunday, we left church, and there was a fire, and my children said, "What's going on?" And Mary said, "Oh, my, anytime you see a house on fire, those of you that you just know, your heart sinks because all your possessions, all your belongings, everything that you own is inside of that house." And you know, we forget about that. When we think about those fires in California, let's not forget everything those people own was burned up. Clothes can be replaced, but pictures, family heirlooms, documents that it'll take months, years, maybe never be able to be recovered. But there was a fire up here in Madison. I don't know all the details, so I'm not going to speak out of line. But I think I saw the fire trucks, and they were there when we came to church that morning. And so from my understanding, it was a controlled burn. They were burning something intentionally, but it got out of control. And someone was hurt. And so a fire, and when it's under control, just like our tongue, when it's under control, when it's being bridled, it can be of great use. But when that tongue gets out of control, it's like a fire, and it can spread and it can destroy. Just as those fires in California destroyed 23,000 acres in a little over 2 weeks and $20 billion up to maybe $50 billion worth of damage, our tongues can do that type of damage. We experienced it here in Madison County just a year ago. They had the fires up there on Graves Mountain, and how that little fire, I don't even know what it started from. It could have been a cigarette butt. It could have been a campfire. I'm not exactly sure that they ever narrowed down what it was, but I'll tell you this, it started small. Every fire that's ever burned started smaller than it got. And so James says your tongue has the strength to destroy. And so we've got to be careful about our tongues. Our tongues can destroy. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." We've got to be careful about what we say. Because our words, our lips, our tongues, James says, the Bible says, God says, is a fire. And it can destroy. How many marriages have been destroyed because of the tongue? How many churches? Pastor mentioned that this morning about unity. How many churches have been destroyed because of the tongue? How many friendships or relationships have been destroyed because of the tongue? Can I ask you, how many testimonies, how many people's lives have been destroyed because of the tongue? And so much more in the age we're living in. It used to be that it had to get from person to person, but now all it's got to have is a click of a button. And you know what we say, "Oh, that news spread like wildfire." I mean, just like that, someone could slander someone, someone could can run down someone, and all of a sudden it's on the news, it's on social media, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on Twitter, it's in sent in text messages, it spreads and it destroys. And James says, you better watch your tongue, because your tongue, though it's small in size, it is significant in strength. And as I said, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know tonight, but I'll tell you something that you need to be reminded of and I need to be reminded of. We got to watch these tongues. Let's not minimize the strength of our tongue, the strength of the things that we say. The things we say have the ability to destroy. It can destroy people's lives. It can destroy churches. It can destroy families. It can destroy marriages. It can destroy all kinds of things. And so James says it has the strength to destroy. Not only that, I believe you find here in this verse, it has the strength to direct. It has the strength to destroy. It also has the strength to deceive. Look at verse number 6. He says the tongue is a fire. Look at this. He says a world of iniquity. I looked up iniquity. I thought I knew what it meant, and I was pretty right, but I wanted to know exactly what the Greek concordance said the word iniquity was, because there's a couple different definitions for this word, and I looked it up, and this is what it means in the Strong's Concordance. The word iniquity means it's an injustice. It's wrongfulness. It's unrighteousness, right? He said, your tongue is a world of iniquity. He said it is a world of unrighteousness. It is a world of injustice. It is a world, he said, your tongue is a world of wrongfulness. And I thought about how wrong it is to deceive. You know what God said in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16? The Bible says this. It says, six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are abomination unto him. He goes on, he says, a proud look. And you know what number two is? A lying tongue. He goes on and he talks about those that shed innocent blood. And then it goes down and the sixth one that he mentions, it says, a false witness that speaketh lies. The Bible, did you catch that? When I read that this afternoon, I've read that verse many times, but when I read that this afternoon, I thought, wow. So God says, six things doth the Lord hate. And out of those six things the Lord hates, two of them are lying. He said a lying lips, right? A proud look, a lying tongue. And then he says, and lips, a false witness that speaketh lies, right? So he mentions lying twice in something that God hates. You know, Jesus, when he talked to those Pharisees, you know what he said? He said, you're of your father, the devil, and he's a liar. He's a deceiver. And you know, if we're not careful, these tongues, you know what they can do? Deceive. Our tongues have the strength to deceive. We got to be careful about using our tongue to deceive people. It's a world of iniquity. How many lies have been spoken by the tongue? Right? We talk about, you know, we talk about all the sins that you know, we think are so awful, right? We could sit here, I could start asking you to name sin that is awful, and I wonder how long it would be before, if I would have said, I want y'all to name some awful sin, some wicked sin, I wonder how long it would have took before somebody would have said lying. We don't like to talk about that, because if we're honest, we're all a little guilty of it sometimes. We all, you know, exaggerating the truth is a nice way of lying. That's lying, right? When we exaggerate, or you know what, even better yet, sometimes we just leave it out. Well, I didn't lie. Maybe you did. That's right. Yeah. And so lying is a very serious thing. And our tongue, it has the strength to deceive, right? So we see the strength to direct, the strength to destroy, the strength to deceive. I didn't read down in Proverbs 6:16. I didn't continue with that, but because I wanted to get to the next one. I think it has the strength to divide. You know, it says six things doth the Lord hate, a lying tongue, a proud look, a lying tongue, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. How does he sow that discord? With his tongue. See, that tongue, it has the strength to deceive. It also has the strength to divide. I was thinking, Pastor, you know, was talking about it this morning about God, how serious Jesus is about us being unified, us being one. And I knew where I was going tonight, and even next week I know where I'm going. James is going to talk a lot about that. He's going to talk about bitter envy and strife and wars and amongst you in chapter number 4. And James is talking about people that are bickering and people that can't get along. And you know one of the main reasons that people bicker and that people can't get along? Because of this tongue. The tongue is got the strength to divide. There's been churches. This church has to guard against being divided. Can I tell you, if this church gets divided, if this church ever is not uniformed and this church divides, we talk about church splits. If this church ever divides, you know what's going to cause it? The tongue. Some way, you say, no, it'll be false doctrine, it'll be mishandling money, it'll be sin, it'll be this, it'll be that, and it may be, but can I tell you what's gonna spread it and what's gonna pour gas on it if it ever happens? And I pray to God it doesn't, but if it ever happens, you know what it's gonna do? It's gonna happen, the tongue. Many churches have been split by a divisive tongue, whispering, slandering, backbiting, sowing of discord. There's a verse in Proverbs. I wrote down another verse here. Proverbs 16:28. It says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Got to be careful about using our tongues to divide. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God loves for brethren. He says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But you know what? If they're not dwelling in unity, you know what it's going to be that divides them? The tongue. The tongue. James says, that tongue, it's strong. It has the strength to direct, to destroy, to deceive, to divide. It has the strength to defile, or I put here, disrupt. Look at verse number 6. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, look, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. I really got interested in that course of nature, what that means. That course of nature, most people believe that James was using a phrase that they would use in that day, and it was talking about the wheel of life. That word is where we get our word Genesis, which is where we get the beginning, right? The beginning of life. He says the tongue, it defiles, it disrupts the whole course of nature. It disrupts the whole, let's say it this way, the whole circle of life. Right? From the beginning of time, the tongue has been disrupting and defiling the course of life. It's always been a problem. From the very beginning in the garden, when Satan came to Adam and Eve and began that process of sin, ever since then, the tongue has been something that has disrupted and defiled the course of life from the beginning of Genesis all the way to today. From the day that I spoke my first words, and from the day that you spoke your first words, your entire life, your tongue has been disrupting and defiling your life. It starts when we're real little. Some of the first sins that a child ever commits involve the tongue. Lying, talking about something they shouldn't talk about, saying something they shouldn't say. It's set on fire, he said. It's defiled the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It's the tongue is a powerful thing. You see that, don't you?
So James is talking about the impact of the tongue. It has strength. And then he goes on in verse number 7, and he talks about the insanity of the tongue. Look at verse number 7. He says, "For every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." I chose the word insanity there because I thought about Mark chapter number 5. You know, I think, and I'm not positive about this. You could check maybe later, give you a homework task, Jimmy. I believe the word tame is only used one other place in the Bible. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody will be texting me later and telling me I'm wrong. I didn't check it. I just don't recall it, okay? But the word tame is used. I know one place it's used, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because I can relate to that man. In Mark chapter number 5, you remember that maniac? That maniac of Gadara, it says that he had been bound with chains and fetters, and it says that he had broken the chains asunder, and that it says that no man could tame him. We talk about that man, and you know what we talk about that man? He was insane. He was out of control. He was in the caves night and day weeping and cutting himself and crying, and he was out of control. No man could tame him. We say that man belongs in an asylum. He's crazy. He's insane. Can I tell you that's what James is saying about our tongues? He's saying your tongue is insane. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No man can tame it. So just remember, when you next time you read Mark chapter number 5 and you think about that maniac of Gadara, just remember that maniac is the same as your tongue. That maniac is the same as my tongue. See, some of us, if we're not careful, we've been saved so long, or some of you grown up in church your whole life, and you think, man, I'm not as bad as that guy. He's a maniac. He's crazy. He's cutting himself. You picture him as the drug addict or the drunk or whatever, and he is a beautiful picture of that. But can I tell you, next time you read across there, just remember he's a picture of your tongue that you can't control, that says things that it shouldn't say. Paul said in Romans chapter number 7, he said, that I would do, I do not, that I would not, that I do. Paul said, that I would say, I say not, that I wouldn't say, I say. Right? That tongue is out of control. It's insane. It's uncontrollable. The insanity of the tongue. Our tongues are unbridled. Our tongues unbridled without the help of God are insane. They're out of control. They're wild. Look at verse number 8. He says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. You know what that word unruly means? It means out of control. It means it's wild. Your tongue is wild. My tongue, left to itself without the help of God, it's wild. It's like an animal. It's worse than an animal. He said animals have been tamed. Lions have been tamed. Bears have been tamed. Elephants have been tamed. He said, your tongue, you can't tame. It's wild. It's out of control. Not only that, it's wicked. He said it's an unruly evil. He said it's full of deadly poison. That has a reference to, most people believe that's talking about a snake. Our tongues are like snakes. It's full of deadly poison, and it's just waiting to bite. And so when we think about our tongue, we need to understand not only the impacts of our tongue, but the insanity of our tongue. Our tongues are insane. This is a great encouraging message, isn't it? I'm going somewhere, okay? But I will say this. You know what? I meant to say this at the beginning of my introduction. I forgot. I'm glad God just helped me with that. You know, they say one of the best ways to fix a problem is to acknowledge it. Right? If you're gonna get right with God, you've got to acknowledge you're wrong. Think about David in Psalm 51. You know what Psalm 51 is? That's David acknowledging, I've sinned, God. I've done awful and wicked in your sight. And the first step to recovery is to acknowledge that you have a problem, that you've done wrong. Can I tell you, if we're going to get control of our tongues, if we're going to bridle our tongues, the first thing we have to realize is how wicked they are. This tongue, it's got strength, right? This tongue, it can impact lives. It can impact our life and the life of others. Not only that, this tongue, it's insane. It's out of control. It's wild. It's wicked. Right? And so he says the insanity of the tongue. And then he says this, the inconsistency of the tongue. Look at verse number 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. And James says, my brethren, just in case, it's like James constantly does this through his letter. It's like, just in case you thought for one minute that I had quit talking to Christians and I was talking to lost people, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. James said, my brethren, Christians, these people that he's writing to, I believe his church members, I believe James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and he's writing to those Christians that have been scattered, and James is saying, my brethren, listen, and look what he says. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. James said, it shouldn't be this way. But can I tell you, he said, the tongue, it's inconsistent. He talked about the inconsistency of the tongue. He said it's wishy-washy. I almost said it's wild, it's wicked, it's wishy-washy. It's wavering. It's like that man in chapter number 1. James said that double-minded man. He's like tossed about like the waves of the sea. James says your tongue's that way. One minute you'll bless God, the next minute you'll curse man that's made in the similitude of God. Kind of like this, James is saying, it's kind of like you come to church and you praise God and you say amen and you shout the victory, and then you get in the vehicle and you tear down the Christians. Don't act like you've never done it. We all have. And the first step to getting it right is admitting it, right? James says that ought not to be. We ought not come to church and praise God, bless God, thank God, and then get in the vehicle and run down everybody else. James said those things ought not be. But he said you got to be careful because your tongue, it's that way. It's inconsistent. It'll bless God one minute. It'll curse man the next minute. I thought about Peter. Remember the night of Jesus' betrayal? I mean, he said, Lord, Jesus said, y'all going to betray me? He said, not me, Lord. I'll never betray you. Though all men betray you, I'll never betray you. I'll die for you, Jesus, a couple hours later. I don't know that man. The Bible even says he cursed. Some people think that he was using language of those fishermen. Some people don't think he was using the language of the fishermen. He was literally cursing. He was swearing. I don't know the man. And he was cursing, like I don't swearing and making a curse upon Jesus. He said, I don't know him. I have nothing to do with that man. He went from blessing God and praising God to cursing God. And before we're too hard on Peter, we can be guilty of it. Right? I read a definition. It reminded me of the definition I've read years ago, and I thought it was so good. It reminded me of the definition of gossip and flattery. You know the difference between gossip and flattery? Some of you probably heard this before, but if you haven't, it's a good reminder. Gossip is saying behind someone's back what you won't say to their face. Did you catch that? Gossip is saying behind someone's back what you won't say to their face. Flattery is saying to someone's face what you won't say behind their back. Inconsistent, right? James said, your tongue, it's inconsistent. It's out of control. It's wild. It's wicked. It's wishy-washy. It's wavering. It's all over the place. One man said it's a fire. He said it's ferocious, and he said it's fickle. Our tongues. We got to guard them. We got to watch them. We got to be careful about them. So we see the insanity of the tongue. We see the inconsistency of the tongue. And then last, we see the identifying of the tongue. Look at verse number 11, and I'm going to be done. Verse 11, it says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? With a question mark. The answer is no. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? The answer is no. Either a vine, figs? The answer is no. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You know what I believe James is saying? And I mean, I've done a lot of studying on this passage right here. And this is what I believe James is saying. I'm not saying it's so. I'm telling you it's what I believe James is saying. I believe James is saying, your tongue is going to tell on you. I think James is saying what Jesus said when Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. James says, if you a fig tree, but you producing berries, something's wrong. He said, if you're a fountain's not supposed to produce two different types of water. James is saying, you know what? He says, you need to realize that your tongue will identify you. Your tongue will tell on you. The things we say, the words that come out of our mouths, tell a lot about what's in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so James is saying, hey, you got to remember that mouth of yours. And Jesus talked about this in numerous different places. But I believe James is saying that tongue of yours, it'll tell on you. It'll tell on where your heart is. What we say, what we talk about, it tells on us. And I think James is just using this as an analogy, as an illustration. You can't try to make it. Some people try to say, well, if you're saved, you cannot say anything bad. That's what some people try to say. It says, if you're saved, no, you can't have bitterness come out of your mouth. I'd like to meet them. I don't think that's what it's saying. I haven't met that Christian yet. I think James is saying, hey, what comes out of you? What comes out of your mouth? Jesus said it's not what goes in a man that defiles the man. It's what comes out of him that defiles him. Why did Jesus say that defiles the man? Because it tells what's on the inside. What comes out of the mouth speaks what's in the heart. It identifies what kind of tree we are. Whether we're a fruitful tree or whether we're a non-fruitful tree. And so our tongues, it identifies us. And so what do you do? And I'm done, okay? James is going to come back to the tongue one more time later in this letter. But in chapter number one, you remember he had already talked about the tongue. James is serious about the tongue. He said, wherefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Remember that? So you say, what am I going to do? My tongue, I understand, Brother David, it's wicked. It's wicked, and it's wishy-washy, and it's wild. It's out of control, and it's got the power to destroy and to deceive and to divide. So what am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, or I'm going to try to do, is contemplate before I speak. You may not remember this, but I was able to look back in my notes, and when I preached out of James chapter 1, verse, I think, is it 19? Let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak. That was my point. Be slow to speak. Contemplate before you speak. Think before you speak. I look back at my notes today, and I read a quote that said, let your mind get in gear before your mouth starts moving. That's good encouragement there. Contemplate before you speak, and then be controlled by the Spirit. You know that verse says that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison? It's very important it says this, that no man can tame. No man can tame it. But can I tell you, the Spirit of God can. The only hope we have with this tongue of ours is to be controlled by the Spirit. You know, you read about being Spirit-filled in Ephesians. It says being filled with the Spirit. It says one of the first things it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking. One of the first evidence of a Spirit-filled person is what they speak about. Isn't that a coincidence? I think James is saying, you know what? You better watch your tongue. But I also believe James is saying this, what he's been saying the whole time. Faith works. Faith works. Can I tell you, we're the only people, I believe, in the world that have any hope with our tongue? Because we're saved. Without the Spirit of God living inside of us, our tongues are out of control. But with the Spirit of God living inside of us, our tongues can be brought under control. Bridled is what James said. And so I don't know about you. I can only speak for me. But I'm going to be praying as I've always been praying. When you speak as much as I speak, you pray pretty often. God, guard my lips today. Keep my lips. I remember last week I wrote down a verse of scripture. David said in Psalm 141, verse 3, he said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That'd be a good prayer every day. God, help me not to say anything I shouldn't say today. God, help me to only say the things that I should say. And so James is talking about the tongue. Let's have a word of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for your attention tonight. I hope you'll consider your tongue, your lips, your mouth, the things you say. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play, and you can stand to your feet. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, you can come to the altar. If you don't come to the altar, you can do business there in your seat. But I would challenge you, I'd encourage you. God, help me. Help me with my tongue.